For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Well, hello, hey, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. It's a Patriots Monday, not a victory Monday. To many, a moral victory Monday, including Andy Hart here, which we'll get to in just a minute. Nice to have you with us here today. We will hear from Drake May, the author of that incredible play at the end of regulation, as well as that not-so-incredible interception to end overtime. We will speak with Jonathan Jones. That's all coming up later on in the 4 o'clock hour. But let's go ahead and start where we need to start here, and that is another loss for the Patriots, another encouraging game from Drake May. And this was more than encouraging. I felt like this game, he took a step up from encouraging. Like, we've seen a lot of encouraging things from him. What we saw in that game was something different from that. That play at the end of the game, that was special.
Yep.
That was a special play. It was a special moment. It didn't translate to a win, which I know he's going to come in here. He's going to say, hey, you know, yeah, great play at the end, but we didn't get a win, and that's all that matters. But I think even me, in my cold, dark heart here, I understood the significance of that play. I think that that was something that got everyone's attention. You think it's going to be another recruitment video.
Yep.
My concern is the same concern I had a couple weeks ago when he made his debut, and that is the rest of the roster. That is what he's surrounded with. That is the fact that you actually did something I didn't even think. I didn't think that Drake May was going to be this big hit. I didn't think he was going to be good right away. I wasn't even sure if he was going to make a good quarterback in the NFL. It looks like he's going to. But the fact that this is the way that they set things up for him, and that this is the team they've presented him with, and this is how they're choosing to support him, is each week that goes by less and less forgivable to me. You know, you all these people in the front office, they all were here, and they all witnessed firsthand what happens when you have to prop up your quarterback and then take things away from him. And rather than prop up the quarterback here, they're leaving him with nothing. Mac Jones needed a lot of help to be propped up, right? He wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the natural ability and talent that, yep, that Drake May has. So they went on a big spending spree, and they brought in these tight ends and these wide receivers. Josh McDaniels was here. They had a good run game. They had lots of things to sort of prop him up when he had a bad game, you know, or a bad throw or whatever at the end of a game. And by the way, I think this was Drake May's worst game, just between you and me. And we'll get to why I think that. But there were things that Mac Jones didn't do well that the team propped him up with. And rather than say, okay, the move here now is to get an offensive coordinator we really believe in, someone who's sought after, someone that we really want to be with this guy and to bring him along, and at least one big-time playmaker at wide receiver, a security blanket for him, something like that. Someone like Jacoby Myers, but better, right? That's who Mac had, someone like that, but better. He had Bourne in his prime, too. And they didn't do any of that. And you saw what happened. Born in his prime, I would say. When he was getting 800 yards a season, that's what he got.
He's still in his prime.
Okay, but he's not
that good.
He's not getting 800 yards in a season like he did in the Mac Jones rookie year, which is, you can't deny that. He was much better back then. Either way, forget I said that, but like either way, those were things that when you took them away from Mac Jones, you saw things go left really quickly. You saw things go completely off the rails, and rather than learn from that, they're now starting their new quarterback out with the same piece of 4-13 offense that got Bill Belichick fired for negligence, for neglecting the offense. They brought that whole offense back, and that's how they're starting their third overall pick off this season, and predictably, they're not winning a lot of games. Things are happening in these games. He had to do everything in that game yesterday. He had to do everything for that offense. That shouldn't be the case. When you have that much, when you have draft picks and that much cap space, for him to have to go out there in his third start ever and do everything, like that to me, I couldn't deal. It was fourth start ever, but I couldn't deal with that. Like that was watching that go down. You know, he was good And you can't deny that that play at the end was a special play. But to see him in this situation, Andy, pisses me off. I'm sorry. I think it's unforgivable that this is the team he's been given.
So I get your reaction, because I do think the sort of parallel takeaways from yesterday was Drake May's special.
Yes.
We got a guy. And, oh, my God, I think the rest of the roster is actually worse than I thought it was, especially in terms of the offensive line and the targets he's throwing to. Other than Hunter Henry, there's not a consistent, capable adult target for him to work with. That's just the reality. And Hunter Henry's had a really nice season.
Yep.
He had a nice game yesterday. But I actually spin zone it, I guess, a very unofficial early first segment spin zone, a rarity.
Okay,
here.
We don't get a lot of those, so all right.
I thought it was Drake May's best day as a member of
the team. You thought it was his best game?
Best day. No. I need you to listen. Words have meanings. See, Paul Perillo would have picked up on that. Paul Perillo was just in here.
Was there a game yesterday?
No. But he had a post-game press conference, and he had a pre-game where he was coming off for whatever it is, and we can get into it with him, concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some trepidation, A, to play him, and
absolutely,
B, how he would run.
Yep.
Well, he played, and he ran his ass off,
he
and
did.
He was productive.
That was the most productive part of the whole offense.
And then he got to the post-game press conference, and I think a lesser man, a guy who maybe didn't have to deal with this at North Carolina, hell, a Caleb Williams, or even a Peyton Manning. I've heard Peyton Manning throw his line and his guys under the
threw
bus.
His kicker under the bus all the time.
Absolutely. There was a bus opportunity yesterday in Nashville, right? There was a bus opportunity for Drake May to beep, 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 back it up, go forward a little bit, maybe run those jackals over.
He could have.
And all he talked about was a dumb decision he made. He even went back and brought up, like, the first run of the day. He's like, I got to beat a safety there and make more plays.
Mm-hmm.
He had the most rushing yards from a Patriots quarterback since 1977, Steve Grogan. And I think that was the year they broke the rushing record. Like, you did some pretty special things running the football. They had, what, 317 yards of offense, and you had 302 or whatever the numbers were?
Yeah.
You were the offense. The line was terrible. The receivers were terrible. And the quarterback wasn't perfect. He looked like a rookie quarterback. There's some learning curve. There are experiences that are being had. But he looked like a guy that just might be special. And I'm going to use a weird analogy here.
Okay.
A baseball analogy. A young baseball player. You had Mac Jones go to the plate with a nice light bat that was perfectly weighted for him. And he was hitting singles.
Yeah.
Hitting singles.
Okay.
And then you're like, oh, I forgot to bring that bat. Can you use this 36-35 bat? It was Babe Ruth's. It must work. And he was like, holy crap, this thing's heavy. I can barely swing it. I think right now Drake May has the Babe Ruth bat. And when you take the weight off and give him a bat that's actually functionable for him,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see, he's going to be like, wait, this, oh, those guys are going to block up there and I'm going to have a little time to stand here.
Right.
And when I throw it to a guy on a slant, it's not going to go straight through his hands and almost get picked off behind him. I think he's taking his lumps early in terms of what he's dealing with, and that's going to make him a better quarterback when they actually have a left tackle. Hey, Jerod Mayo, can we put away that Vedarian Lowe might be the long-term left tackle idea? Stick that one in your back pocket and walk away. Can we put away the, oh, Ben Brown has been this transformational presence in the middle of the line? Put that one in your back pocket and walk away.
He got
away.
Transformed yesterday, that's for sure.
How about you put away the idea, Jerod, a couple weeks ago when you said the offensive line has become a strength of this team?
Mm-hmm.
Are you even watching? Because it's not a strength. They stink. It's a stink of the team, not a strength of the team.
Yeah.
And you're still a soft team. I know you've backed off on using that mantra. You said when you can't run the ball and you can't stop the run, you're a soft team, correct?
Yes.
They couldn't run yesterday. 1.6 yards per carry for a guy you keep telling me is the top 10 running back in the league?
10 carries, 16 yards for you math majors out there. He did get in the end zone two times, but could not run the ball to save his life.
Anything.
And they couldn't run block for him either.
So you're still a soft football team. You chastised us in the media when you said the concerns about the offensive line were overblown in August.
Mm-hmm.
No, they weren't. The offensive line stunk in August, and for the most part, it stunk all year long. Even when they were running the ball, I told you, not sustainable. When 118 of 120 yards are after contact, not sustainable. So the offensive line is not good. The wide receivers, I'm real close, real, real, real close. And I know the receivers probably really care, and Elliott Wolf really care. Just press the damn reset button. Mm. Get rid of all of them. Just, like, scrape them off and get a whole new set. Because if I can't count on DeMario Douglas to catch a slant with the game on the line, then what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? So I am, as a maniac and a bit of a quarterback apologist and a May apologist, I was thoroughly impressed with how he handled himself coming off a, I'll continue to say, concussion protocol week. I don't know whether he was concussed or not. Because did you notice where he said, we had a spotter and with my cleats on, I kind of stumbled on the turf doing my balance test.
Right.
So he doesn't think he had any sort of head injury. Mm-hmm. That's the tone I took from that. Maybe we'll let him clarify when he gets here later.
And Mayo was dodgy about it.
He was very protocol. Which I'm actually fine with, because I don't know how anybody diagnoses.
I'm fine with talking smack to Chris Curtis. I mean, you know, whatever. But, like, yeah, he was very, he didn't want to answer it. Not going to go back and forth about this.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell he didn't want to say the wrong thing.
Which is fine, because I think concussions are weird and they get you in trouble, because if you're not taking head issues seriously, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, on a day that Drake May, and where did he deal with pressure? Remember when Tom Brady used to complain about pressure? Where would it come from? Right up the middle. Simmons was the best player on the field. He was dominant. He made Ben Brown look like he's a practice squad center, probably in part because Ben Brown is a practice squad center.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was with no run game, no receivers, no offensive line help, the whole thing, coming off an injury. I thought Drake May handled himself about as well as you could for a guy making his fourth NFL start. So I am more optimistic. And then, you know what I also liked? Forget the recruiting videos that we're going to send outward.
Mm-hmm.
The recruiting videos in that locker room about guys calling him an effing winner.
Yeah.
And like he's Josh Allen. Oh, where'd you hear that? I told you he was Josh Allen last November, people. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining the party, Devon Godchild.
Andy, lots of people are saying that.
I was the first. I was yelled at.
By whom?
Other media members in this town tell me it was kind of a dumb.
Was one of them just in the other room a minute ago? Did he come in here and yell at you?
I think it was Phil Perry, actually.
Phil Perry?
I think he told me it was an overly aggressive comp or something like that when I did TV with him.
We asked him who people compare him to the most. He said Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. So, I mean,
these people do it, and you people need to listen. You have yourself a franchise quarterback. We said this year was about developing a franchise quarterback, right?
Yes.
So far this is a successful year?
Yes, although
and
I would
you
say
got the number one pick back.
Well, for now you do.
It was a perfect day.
But you've got a lot of bad teams in this NFL here, too, which we're going to get to as well.
I didn't envision like a 10-team race for the number one pick.
There's 9 teams with 2 wins.
Yeah,
there's
bad.
9 2-win teams. It's the halfway point of the NFL season, and half the league sucks.
And the good news is, I think we've just about exited the Patriots stretch of quote-unquote winnable games.
I think so, yeah.
So in that big chunk of crappy teams, you got a good chance here. You got a really nice chance. Now, I still think Carolina stinks. And the other thing...
Well, you got the Bears next week, and they've been having a rough couple
of weeks.
But
they're better.
They're definitely better
than you.
They're better than you. They're on the downside.
And it's on the road,
so
it's their home game, so they should have home field advantage. But I
got 2 Bills games. You got the Chargers.
Oh, you're going to get mollywopped
by the Dolphins,
the
Rams. Yeah, Cardinals maybe. I don't know.
They're all better than you.
They're all every team in the league.
They're all better than you.
That's why they have the number one pick. They're the worst team in the league.
The only thing that concerns me is with all these teams involved coming down the home stretch, there could be some, what do you call it, chicanery, tomfoolery. Like, teams could be jockeying.
Trying to adjust.
Doing weird things in December and early January. That's the only thing I leave the door open. Otherwise, you have... A franchise. We did our exercise on the Six Rings postgame show. Remember when I asked you how many teams in the National Football League would take Drake May right now?
Yes.
16 is the answer.
16 would take Drake
May
right now?
Half of the NFL would take Drake May right now. You have a franchise quarterback, and you currently have the number one pick in the draft. This is the greatest season in the history of the franchise.
I bet you Drake May.
Seems like exaggeration.
If you strapped him down and gave him some... Truth serum would say, yeah, I'd probably go to 16 other teams, too, if you asked me the question.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yes,
would
come
you go
on.
To Carolina?
Maybe not, but there's not one of the 16. There's a lot of other teams there out there, is what I'm saying. Is when you put that out there, sure, there's other teams that would look at Drake May or Jaden Daniels or a lot of the rookie quarterbacks this year and say, yeah, I'd take that guy. Look at what he's doing, Caleb Williams. I think you could say that about most of the rookies this year. Most teams out there would take him. Not most, but about half, more than half. And they'd say the same thing. Well, he's young. We got him on the rookie deal. He's a franchise quarterback. Who knows what he could become now? And I think this is already looking like a strong QB class. But that doesn't necessarily mean that this – is the right place for Drake May, and they need to do some work with that. They have to. I hope that tomorrow's productive. I know Mayo came on and said, "Hey, you know, it's not like the baseball trade deadline. We don't big names don't get traded."
Is he paying attention?
So don't trade a bunch of big names. First
Amari
of all, that's
Cooper,
not true.
Devontae Adams, they've already been traded.
Right, and Christian McCaffrey got traded 2 years ago. So big names move at the deadline. That happens, and even if that doesn't happen for the Patriots, which I'm not expecting it to, doesn't mean they shouldn't be active.
Correct.
Doesn't mean they shouldn't do whatever they can here to upgrade this team and try and pull them up. Because May can't pull him up by himself. He can't pull this team up by himself. And I think even next year, if you have a similar-looking roster to this, Drake May, as he continues to progress, this roster will drag him down. I believe that. I think that that's a real thing. I think it happens in the NFL.
Sure.
Especially when teams don't end up doing the right thing, doing right by their young quarterback. The Patriots need to take this seriously. And I'm talking about in the next 24 hours here.
Look, this isn't baseball.
It is not baseball. Good point. But it is a trade deadline where significant players move almost every year now,
yep.
It feels like. Now, they already have. His better answer might have been all the big-name players have already moved, something like that. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not true. And they
I don't think that's necessarily true either.
I don't necessarily think that either. But I this is where you and I take the philosophical divide. I believe they're going to be very aggressive. I believe they're going to be in place. Our buddy John Lyons had a beautiful mock trade for April's draft with the Patriots trading out of number one, mm-hmm. trading down to six, getting an extra one and a two next year, and then using a pick to trade for DK Metcalf. They draft Will Campbell at six. If they get Will Campbell and DK Metcalf and then draft other players near the top of each round, then I will be feeling good. But my concern also isn't just will they be aggressive? Mm-hmm. Will they get people? I think they will. I think they have to be. They have to spend. They have the money. That whole thing.
Right.
Do I have any faith in Elliott Wolf to put together the right talent? Because
not looking at this roster right now, this present roster, no, I'm not.
Because everything he acquired stinks.
Yeah.
That seems like exaggeration, but the more I think about it, other than Drake May, what do I feel good about what he did? His offensive line is a debacle. His veteran receiver that he brought in was a healthy scratch and is a cheerleader on the sideline. Give KJ Osborne credit. Great attitude. Be a cheerleader on the sideline. But I'd also like for you to be a veteran presence at receiver for a young quarterback who needs a veteran presence at receiver. So Elliott Wolf, and we don't have time to get into this now, but there is a rant coming about Elliott Wolf that no one sees coming.
Yeah.
No one
sees mentioned this to me, and I had no idea what you were talking about.
I have an issue with Elliott Wolf that goes well beyond his building of the roster or failure to build the roster because he was dead wrong. He did not surround the quarterback. You're 100% right. He did not surround the quarterback with the talent to succeed, a good offensive line. They're not prepped for him. But this is a lot like trial by fire. I think this guy is him, and I don't think hims or dudes or whatever you want to call them in modern lingo get broken. I don't think that happens. I think those guys find a way to lift up their team. They lift up their franchise, and this franchise, to me, is on the doorstep of being lifted up out of the doldrums of post-Tom Brady and having an elite quarterback.
They have the guy to do it. I agree with you. I think this is the guy to do it, and I'll admit that I was wrong about that. But we agree that Justin Herbert is that guy, right? Don't we all think that Justin Herbert's an elite quarterback?
I don't know if he has the competitive moxie that Drake May has.
For the last 3 years, though, prior to
Did
this.
Did you see Drake May coming off a concussion, diving through two tacklers?
Sure.
I mean, he is him.
What, Herbert's never gotten hurt
And then
before,
he goes to the post-game podium, and he's like, those guys up front, they were really playing their ass off today. To say that so believably, so naturally, is special leadership. Because those guys up front weren't good. When they weren't missing blocks, they were getting penalties. They were terrible. And this is where I'll credit Elliott Wolf. It's all Drake May related when I credit Elliott Wolf. Really got nothing
the
else.
The only compliment you can give
But him. Remember when he told us every post-game press conference at Carolina, they tried to get Drake May to throw his line and his coaches and his scheme and his receivers, and he wouldn't do it? And you're seeing the fruits of that learning labor at North Carolina on full display, because that would hinder him. If he was making plays but being a Jay Cutler-like dink,
right,
that would
diva,
be bad.
Yeah, I agree.
He is,
I don't
he
think
is a leader.
I don't think it's elevating anybody, though. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, I think it's building
says,
the locker room. I think
it?
Those comments you're hearing for a team that was teetering on a freaking mutiny, they now have a leader. It's not their head coach, and you can say whether that's good or bad.
I agree with
they
that.
They have
too.
A leader. He wears number 10, and he can't even grow a beard, but he's the leader of this football team.
You credit the guys up front, man, those five, you know, up front,
See?
Blocking their butts off.
Yeah,
blocking
listen,
their butts off.
He said a lot of
that's
nice
a leader.
Things. He did. He said nice things. There was another 10 in the locker room that had everybody saying nice things about him, too. And it was not that long ago.
Felt fake.
All right, fine. Maybe it was, but people were still saying
because they saw the same fake leadership from Mac Jones that I saw. They were just being good teammates. Now these people believe it. Now they'll follow this guy to freedom. They'll follow this guy to success. He is a leader. He's got a torch, and they're following.
They picked him up, and I agree with that because after that game, you saw all the players go up to Drake May after that interception and say, hey, you know what? We wouldn't be here without you. Like, that was a moment. I agree with that. But he also that lost the game. All right, so let's.
Well, maybe if Kendrick Bourne hadn't fallen down on the little post corner route
maybe.
He's running, and that safety couldn't just say, "Oh, that idiot's laying on the ground. I guess I can drift over this way and pick off the
sure.
pass." And maybe if Kayshon Booty showed a little bit of heart and did anything other than like, "Oh, that guy's gonna pick this pass off and win the game." Do something.
Okay.
Try something.
Maybe he should have.
It was
dog
3 yards
central.
Underthrown,
was
and he
bad.
Threw it into double coverage. It was a bad boneheaded
throw. He didn't throw it into double
on.
Coverage. That guy should have been over with the Bourne.
It looked like he already turned. I saw that same video. It looked like he already turned to go back to where the ball was going. But either way, even if he hadn't, that was a dumb throw, and he underthrew it, and maybe
well,
it was
I think
the wind.
It was
I don't know.
A physically bad throw.
Yeah.
I think that was the
and
issue.
And the first interception was, that was a bad one.
That was Mac Jones-esque.
It was.
That
which,
was
oh, I thought we're not allowed to say that. We can't say
that was Mac Jones-esque. That was late feet, like under pressure, over the middle, take a shot.
Yeah, the fumble,
we can argue about.
Protect the ball, that's what I think.
Well, he was. He had two hands on it, and then he was going to throw to Hasty. You know what he learned there? Just keep it myself and
take
run.
Take the sack, or
just, like, be smart. That was a lesson learned. I also think Hasty learned a lesson. Hey, maybe dive on the ball and get it. He should have recovered that.
He should have.
Somebody, I felt, remember when I told you in the summer when I was coming on your show, filling in back then, now I'm officially host two.
Right.
I've really moved up the depth chart here.
Big moment for all of us. Yeah.
I thought there was a chance for a positive narrative in the summer that was lost because nobody was making plays for Drake May. He's hitting guys in the hands. Guys are stopping routes. Guys are getting tired. Like, he was doing his part, and the other guys weren't helping him take advantage of what could have been opportunities and optimism. And you're seeing that again.
Yep.
Just give the guy a little bit of help. Someday, I firmly believe, he'll be borderline able to do it himself. But he's not capable right now as a rookie making his fourth start. And maybe some other guys maybe chip in just a little bit. And just because you think he's great, don't make him prove it. Help him out.
Yeah.
Do something.
And Devon Godchild is not going to. But, you know, the rest of these guys certainly can. These guys on offense absolutely can. Drake May at the end of regulation had maybe the play of the year. And then they could have gone for two. They elected not to. Jerod Mayo talked about that this morning. We'll get into that. Should they have gone for two? And how are we feeling about this defense who got run over to start the game and run over to the end of the game? But I thought in between we're actually all right. We'll get into that as well as the decision making at the end of the game and at the end of the half. That's all coming up right after Stiz.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get you caught up on what's trending. All right, that was Jerod Mayo this morning. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. We're live at Gillette. If you're watching on Twitch, you'll notice the set's a little different today. As normally we're sitting at a desk. Today we're sitting in some nice lounge chairs. This courtesy of Maddie the Marine, who didn't want to break the set back down for us and switch it back over, which I understand. It's a lot of work.
I actually like it.
It's all right. Looking down at the screen, there's pluses and minuses to it.
Bring some phone books and prop it up.
That's a good idea. Like you do when we're in the other.
Oh, waka waka!
Some good messages here.
Glad I wore pants.
Number one, why is everyone surprised that you're wearing pants and also no visor today?
I try to dress it up a little bit for these situations.
For in here, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, like what if we get into a fight with Drake May and it goes viral or something? We want to like look
like a fist fight.
Anything. If anything notable happens with
who
Drake
would win
May?
In a fight? Us, the two of us combined, or Drake May?
Oh, I think the two of us.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'd have to go high. He'd go low, obviously. if we were to do that, that's how it would go. I'm formulating a strategy. That's all. People in the Twitch chat say this looks like a casting couch situation.
Bam, not wrong.
Also, people saying this is great for Andy because his feet touch the ground. So that's nice.
Son of a bitch.
What else do we have here? Oh yeah, right. The 2-point conversion that was not. I was yelling at the television. Go for two here. And I know that there's people who are going to say, Arcan, you're being so inconsistent. You didn't want to go for two the last time. Why do you want to go for two now? And I think it's completely consistent. Momentum. The momentum of the game, the spot in the game, the point where you did it, and why you did it, I think, was important there. And you just had a back-breaking touchdown. That touchdown was crippling to the Tennessee Titans. They saw that, and it was that's a moment right there where you take advantage of them and the fact that they just gave up that touchdown because 12 seconds scrambling around and Drake May dancing through all those sacks and the defenders and everything and finally getting that ball off as he's getting tackled with no time left on the clock. Stevenson hauls it in. That's the type of momentum I'm talking about, and that's a real thing. I believe it. I know there's no mathematical formula that quantifies it, but that to me is momentum, and that's when you go for two. I wanted them to go for two there. If you lose, you lose. I didn't really want to see the defense go back out again and get run over in overtime, although I wasn't expecting that to happen. I thought the defense had kind of picked themselves up over the course of the game after that awful first drive where they just got carved up, which we both commented on.
Yep.
On Twitter, I remember. That was jarring to see that.
But that right there, to me, is exactly when you go for two. It's the momentum of the game. It's the spot in the game. You don't just automatically do it at certain points. You do it when the situation calls for it. And I thought right there, that was the type of momentum you go into the play and go for two with. That's what I thought.
So I don't think I would have gone for – I wouldn't have gone for two. I said it at the time. I would not have gone for two. I understand the arguments and definitely could sway me. The question I would have is, what's your play? Because I do think that's a legitimate – you always hear Bill Belichick and other – oh, we really liked our two-point player. Mm-hmm. We knew we had to have two really good two-point plays. I don't know what you're going to call there. And I'm not being snarky. You can't run the ball. You haven't run the ball all day.
Nope.
1.6 yards per carry. That's not enough to score the two-point conversion. You're going to be stuffed. Your offensive line stinks. You just proved that you can't run, you know, traditional low red zone plays. Mm-hmm. You didn't scheme anything up. The play sounds even longer when you listen to it without seeing it.
I know.
It seems even more extended. You made a great play. Drake May's tired. He's working his ass off. I don't know if you feel great about saying, oh, he'll just, you know, run a QB sweep to the pylon or something, which they're already hesitant to call straight run plays mm-hmm. with him. They've told us that. So I don't – part of my hesitance is I think, if anything, you might have ticked off the defensive front, so they're just going to blow up the offensive line, and now Drake May scrambling for his life again, and can he go 12 seconds and then another 10 and make something crazy happen? I just felt like the defense, in my opinion, had gotten slightly better as the game wore on. And Drake May, in my opinion, might be able to do more special things with a full drive in overtime than just this play where he's gassed. Mm-hmm. Now, where I'm different with Gerard Mayo, don't compare the two situations. They're completely different to the last two-point situation where it was to make it a one-score or two-score
right.
game.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is
well,
game
I wanted
on the
to
line.
Kick then, and this time I wanted
no,
to go for two,
I know.
So I was explaining my reasoning. That's
but,
all
like, they're just very different.
They're
not
different instances,
in the
yeah.
same chapter of the playbook or whatever
right.
you're calling it.
And one was at the end of the game. There was 9 minutes left in the
yeah,
other one.
Just
right.
very, very different. I do have concerns and worries about how did this come about? Were you now? He said,
"Who called it?
Who
called
it?
Red?
Were
yep.
you really prepared? Do you have good 2-point plays ready? Was something not ready? You know, we had the last
Andy.
One.
They don't have any good plays ready.
That's,
they don't have anything.
That's sort of my point.
Come on,
gotta have it.
Right.
I don't think they have gotta have it plays. I don't think they have things. Remember the classic Patriot one was always the direct snap to Kevin Falk and
yep.
Brady pretend it's a bad snap.
Yep.
Like." They felt good about that play. I'm still stunned that play worked as many times as it did. You would have thought you run that once and people would get the hang of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept working. Do they have any of those? To me, their two plays are Drake May, get us in the end zone, or Ramondre Stevenson, get us in the end zone. He breaks tackles. He makes plays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel good about either of those. I don't feel good about any of the pass catchers. Hell, Hunter Henry went out the back of the end zone on the previous play, so he nullified his own availability. So I just actually, in a weird way, felt better about going to overtime. And that's without my cynical, snarky, do they even want to win the game? Do they want it to be a flip to win a game and hurt their draft pick status?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you can talk yourself into it's a good experience for Drake May to go to overtime, right? He'll gain more knowledge, plays.
Yep.
And you can also, if you actually are trying to win the game, a lot of people believe in extending games,
yes.
right? And allowing him the traditional opportunities to drive and make plays with his legs or his arm, whatever. So I would have kicked it just like they did for all of those reasons, but I also understand the idea of let's just go one play and get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Sort of what I was thinking. I mean, they did not, over the course of the game, I mean, they trailed for a lot of it, so it was a comeback. It was just a moment where it seemed like, okay, this is significant. Like, what just happened right there is time
yeah.
has expired, and he's scrambling around, and Tennessee can't bring him down, and they can't get a guy over to cover Stevenson. It just seemed like, okay, you broke them. Now go finish him off. That's what it felt like to me.
And I don't
giving
hate
them
it.
A chance to go out there and drive down the field. And Rudolph, listen, Rudolph had a good game. You know, he's not a good quarterback, but he had a good game. He had a high completion percentage. He had took better care of the ball than May did. I thought he was – kind of impressive, honestly, like considering that I always thought he was just some bum.
He is kind of just
backup.
A bum.
But he had a good game yesterday, a
he
good
was
game
fine.
Against you. And that to me was seeing them start to connect and pick up first downs. I thought, oh, man, I thought they were going to score a touchdown, first of all, and just end the game like that. But when they kicked the field goal and May got the ball again, you and I, everybody, we all sort of thought, hey, you know what? He just did it.
Gonna be a hell of a story.
Go do it again. Here it is. He's got 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it was.
Yep.
He's got time to get down the field. They got timeouts. They can, or they had one timeout. I think they can. They can do this. And you know, just from there on, we all remember how it went down. But you could have bypassed all of that. I think you could have just gone for it. And I think even if you had come up short, that would have been tolerable. I think people would have looked at it and said, you know what, that was an okay time to do it because you really broke their back at the end.
And I do think for a team that's struggling for its identity and its emotion, this could have been – I wish the touchdown had been the game ender. I think that would have been huge.
Yeah,
they could have just piled up on Drake May and celebrated and chaos ensues.
Yeah.
That would have been a great moment for this team and this organization. You could have given yourself the opportunity to have that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, next play – I just don't know that they were physically, mentally, preparation-wise, really ready. And you don't want to embarrass yourself. That's the one thing I would say.
No, you don't.
If you go out there and the play is a disaster, that's a really bad look. But I would have understood it because I would have spun it the same way I spun the whole damn thing. Okay, you go for the win because that's going to catapult you emotionally.
Yep.
And if you don't get the win, well, that catapults us up the draft pick board.
Yes, which
right?
is where they ended up anyway. But
right.
Yeah.
So it all worked out. It was a great day.
It did. 617-779-7937. Your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. When we come back, we have a couple of things to get to in particular. And this is one of those things that I don't know. The coaching, I think, is a tough thing to quantify. We have thoughts on not just Jerod Mayo, but certainly Alex Van Pelt and DeMarcus Covington. How is the coaching and the play calling this week? We'll discuss it with you and your phone calls next. It's Drake May, who we'll be speaking to in, I don't know, a couple hours, I think. We didn't get an exact time. We know it'll be after 4 o'clock when team meetings are over. He'll be joining us right here in the lounge, in the Patriots
like
lounge that we're sitting in, which I'm enjoying it here so far.
Beers.
Isn't bad, yeah. You know, a little cocktail martini over here. Kind of looks like that with the leather couches,
yeah.
You know, maybe like old-fashioned or something. Had a few of those this weekend. It was at a wedding
sure
in the vineyard.
Did.
It was a good time. Good times on the island. Anyway, how was the coaching and play calling this week, Andy? How'd you find it?
I didn't love it. And so let's start on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay.
Because the first drive was horrific. The tackling, the spacing, they drove the ball right down your throat. You didn't seem to have an answer. And everybody,
I almost turned the game. I was like, is this what we're going to see today?
No.
I almost didn't want to watch it after that.
But I got some guy on Twitter was like, the other team scripts plays. You ever hear of it? That's the way it works. And I'm like, wait, so they script plays? That means we can't tackle?
Right.
We can't make plays? We can't counter anything?
What are you supposed to do? They scripted it. I'm like, come on.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Like it's WWF.
Yeah.
You have to take a fall while they go by.
So I thought the start defensively was really, really bad. And I had some similar concerns that they were just going to drive it down their throats all day.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really. They kind of had success, but then the Patriots made some plays. You were fortunate, no question, with some penalties, with some turnovers. There were some different things.
Ultimately, they held this team to 20 points in an overtime game. That's a
right.
pretty good, no matter who you are.
You got to win.
And who you're playing against, that's a good day by the defense.
You got to win. You got to kind of win. Offensively, the run game, the infatuation with first down runs, like sort of that thing, which in a way I get. When the head coach says we're going to be a run-first team,
right.
Well, if he's the head coach and it's his responsibility, he keeps telling us that, well, then I guess we got to be a run first, literally and figuratively, I guess we got to be a run first team. I just don't think it's working. It's not serving anyone well. And the Alex Van Pelt, like the feel good from last week, just because you won a football game,
mm-hmm.
I feel like is over. And just a very unofficial surfing of social media. There's a lot of people that are like, Alex Van Pelt, like, we got to have that conversation. Well, I feel like some of us have been having that conversation for about a month and a half.
Right.
So I don't think the play calling was very good, but I do fall back on a little bit. What plays are you going to call when the line stinks, the receivers stink, and you can't do it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What you can't run screens.
No.
Like, screens are a good fallback sort of tweener play. It's not a run, but it's not a downfield pat.
I feel like their screens never work.
They're terrible.
They never work.
And they remember Alex Van Pelt at some point said he wanted to have the best screen team in the league?
Right.
You don't.
No.
You absolutely do not. And I don't know whether.
And they needed to when Brissett was quarterback. You know, like that was
right.
sort of the thing. Well, this is the kind of plays he's comfortable with. Let's keep it close. Let's keep it mistake-free. And we'll just dink and dunk him and, you know, cut him up around with these little short passes. You don't have to do that with Drake, man.
There's a little bit of me that gives Alex Van Pelt the pass because we can't pass protect. We can't run block. We're not picking up traditional yardage.
Right.
We can't screen. When we do throw the ball, half the time it's dropped or the something goes weird in the route concepts, whatever. And they've said, Alex Van Pelt said last week, they don't really want to run Drake May. They don't want to call designed runs for Drake May. So what does he have in his toolbox that you feel real good about? I would say nothing. There is nothing right now that if I'm Alex Van Pelt, sort of goes back to the goal line thing.
Right.
Right, because that would be that situation. What do I feel really good about? We're going to do it right here, damn it. And maybe it could be a reverse, a jet sweep, anything. You could get trickery. I don't feel like they have anything that he has in his back pocket for those situations. And therefore, you have an offense that isn't very good.
617-779-7937. Let's go to your phones here. We'll do that early and often today on a Patriots Monday here live from Gillette Stadium. We'll start off with Ryan in Boston. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey,
what's up,
just, calling to confirm. Yesterday, we realized what we have in a quarterback. We know the kid can play. The kid can run. He accounted for everything on offense. Go get him some help in the offseason. I mean, the draft capital alone from losing that game is that much more valuable now because it's almost like a lock that we have a top three pick. You're not going to get much worse than every other team now. With that being said, you can move back. You can fool around. If it's me, I trade Kendrick Bourne right now. I mean, the reason he threw that pick at the last pass, Kendrick Bourne's tripping all over himself. Guy can't get open. And what do you think?
All right, thanks for the call, Ryan. Appreciate it. What did he say he did all over himself there?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we might have had to dump that. I'm not sure. I couldn't quite hear him, but it wasn't great. I don't think that. Listen, he tripped all over himself.
Tripped. What do you think, creep?
Thought he said something else. Thought he said he had a bodily function all over himself is what I
thought. Oh, okay.
But that's not what he said, and I'm glad because we didn't dump it. So anyways, it doesn't matter. I don't think that you need to trade Kendrick Bourne right now. I'm not sure you're going to get much back for him. I think a sixth or a seventh round pick is maybe where you'd max out trying to move on from him unless there's a big run on receivers here at the trade deadline and no one else is getting moved. But, whatever. Like, I think that's not something that I would turn to right now and say, hey, out of all these guys in the receiver room, we got to get Kendrick Bourne out of here.
No.
That he seems like the one guy maybe that I'd even consider keeping. I thought Douglas did have one good sort of one-handed catch going to the sideline.
That was a sweet throw.
That was a good throw. He threw it right over the top of three guys, and it was a good catch.
And that was a touch throw.
Yep.
I think some people wonder, does he have that kind of touch? That was a pretty touch.
It was. I thought Booty, when he came back on the ball on that last drive, that one play where May had to dodge like two rushers, and he gets it out, and Booty caught it with a guy all over him, draped all over him. He came back to the ball, made that catch, picked up a first down, I want to say, on that final touchdown drive. I thought it was a real nice play. But aside from that, Hunter Henry had a couple good catches. Really, there wasn't really much else to hang your hat on. And I do think that there is something to be said for the idea that if you go and start now and start the process now of revamping this wide receiver room, it's not like it's going to get worse. I don't think that's possible. I just don't know exactly what you do. Just even if it's peripheral trades, even if it's trades that don't even necessarily seem like you're winning the trade, like I'd still go for that. I'd still either do addition by subtraction, new faces, guys who are out there and need a change of scenery, which there are a few. Might have been a few on that team we played yesterday, as a matter of fact. But that's sort of where I'm at. That's kind of where I'm at with that. I think Kendrick Bourne's a guy I might keep around just because I don't think there's much value there. But I'd be taking calls on everybody else.
So I don't really care if they trade Kendrick Bourne or don't trade him. My issue with trading Kendrick Bourne, which is also by extension similar to the Kyle Duggar rumors that I know Fox Sports has sort of shot down.
Right.
Or the Devon Godshaw rumors.
Do you think those are not true, by the way? The Duggar rumors?
No, I think there were probably conversations.
I think there were, too. And I think they're taking calls for anybody.
I think they probably realized it's not worth it.
Right.
But my issue with those deals, and Bourne would be part of it, is I was sold on this idea that the year one was build a culture, build a foundation, retain our own players. Mm-hmm. Year two is make the big splash, big jump, go. And now you want to get rid of everybody you signed? I don't really care about Kendrick Bourne, but you decided you wanted him. You gave him a little bit of guaranteed money to extend his contract. So do you have buyer's remorse? Are you an idiot? Like, why'd you do that?
Culture remorse? I mean, it could be that.
I don't know.
You're looking at the culture of the team and saying this isn't working.
But it's a bad look at the people enacting the plan.
It is.
To me, it's a black mark on Elliot Wolf's resume, the collaborative's resume. If you,
but is that better than going along pretending like everything's okay?
No.
You should just, stick with this?
No.
It's kind of what got you in this whole situation in the first place.
But it makes me really question whether I want you making decisions next March and April.
It's absolutely fair.
Duggar would be the worst one for me. because I would not have re-signed Kyle Duggar. I said it all along on Six Rings. If you were going to keep Jabril Peppers, I thought there was a replication of skills there, overlap, and now Peppers is gone.
Right.
Probably. Most likely never going to play again for this team, as Fitzy says, maybe not in the league again.
Right.
I don't know. And now you're going to get rid of Duggar, too, and start – like, I actually don't mind the idea of Peppers gone, Duggar more traditional strong safety, go find a free safety.
Another free safety,
and pair him up, because I think when he gets exposed is when he's deep down the field in coverage. When you let him do what he should be doing, I think he's fine. So unless I'm getting, like, a second-round pick for him, his original draft pick, and no one's giving you a second-round pick, I don't think, right
for
now.
For Kyle Duggar? No.
So, like, I wouldn't trade that. And Bourne is the same thing. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that it's the ACL year, and then next year you'll get more out of him. And like me wondering if you have to reset the whole receiver position, well, you liked Bourne. Keep him around so that it's Bourne, a rookie, and T. Higgins. And at least you start to have a group of receivers. Because if any team tries to reset the receiver position, I think it's really hard. For this team, they can't find receivers.
I know.
They've had no success, and I'm supposed to believe they can find three, four, five different receivers in 1 year?
Well, maybe not three great ones, but I think you can upgrade from what you have. I don't trust them to do anything at the receiver position.
When was the last good receiver they brought in?
The last good one they brought in was probably
Kendrick Bourne in his prime, as you called him?
Bourne in his prime, yeah, it could have been him. I don't even know if he was that good. Him and Aguilar came in together, and Bourne was probably
the better.
Okay,
so before that, who
players.
Was the last good? Brandon LaFell?
Yeah, LaFell, Myers, Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers, but draft pick, but yes, you know, that was
he was undrafted.
Undrafted,
yeah, yeah.
And that's where they've actually found some success with the David Givenses and the Julian Edelmans and those developmental types.
Yeah.
Like, high drafted receivers.
And people thought Pop Douglas was going to be something like that, too.
He might be. He had a day on paper yesterday that was actually better than my mind gives him credit for.
Yeah.
I think he caught like 7 passes, but it was for no yards. 35 yards, something like that. 5 yards per carry.
It was bad. Yeah, yeah,
it was really bad.
All short stuff.
And I'm holding that one drop against him. You can't have it. And I know Julian Edelman dropped passes and Wes Welker dropped passes, but that left a really bad taste.
7 catches on 9 targets, 35 yards. He had 121. So 6 of those receptions, he was getting like 2 yards a catch. That's ridiculous. Like, that's, you don't see that very often.
Imagine
that's
that.
Kind of a tough stat line.
So your lead running back averaged 1.6 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
And what should be, I think most people believe, is your lead receiver averaged 5 yards a catch. And if you take away one of them, averaged 2 yards a catch.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yuck.
Yikes.
Yuck indeed. How about Jalen Polk, who had more? Was unfortunate as well. Not a great day. Not a great day for the rest of the offense.
Nope.
It was Drake May having to do it all by himself. But he wasn't perfect. Drake May had some rookie mistakes. We'll get to all of those next with your phone calls.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.